A reading from Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you know, in his small catechism, Martin Luther provided brief prayers for use in the morning when you get up, and in the evening when you go to bed. Before we consider his other instructions and the morning prayer itself, it's worth noting that this pattern of prayer he encourages wasn't an innovation. As we heard from Exodus 29, the Lord ordained that his people should offer him morning and evening sacrifices daily. And sacrifices were invariably accompanied by prayer. We heard from Mark 1 of an occasion when Jesus rose early in the morning and went out to a desolate place where he prayed. At the beginning of his second letter to Timothy, St. Paul wrote that he thanked God as he remembered Timothy constantly in his prayers, night and day. In our text, King David writes of praying to the Lord in the morning. And of course, these are just a small sample of the instances in Scripture where God's people call on him in the morning or evening. Clearly, the instruction God gives concerning the daily sacrifices, along with the examples of Jesus, David, and St. Paul praying, show that it is a good and fitting thing to ask the Lord blessing and guidance as you take up the day's tasks. Then, as the day comes to a close, to unburden yourself, asking for forgiveness where you've done wrong, and commending yourself to his care and keeping through your hours of sleep. This is, in a very basic way, living with God as your God, each day, living in fear and love and trust of him. Thus, it's very fitting that, as Luther says, the head of the family should teach his household to pray morning and evening. Luther instructs that you begin your morning prayer by making the sign of the Holy Cross and saying, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." This is a simple invocation, identifying what follows as having to do with the triune God. More than that, though, it is the beginning of the day as your life in Christ began. When the pastor made the sign of a cross on your forehead and on your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified, and by applying water according to God's command and promise, washing your sins away, claiming you for God as his own child, and making you an heir of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Thus, this action and these words each morning are part of returning to your baptism that day. After the invocation and retracing the sign of the cross on oneself, Luther instructs that one should repeat the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. He doesn't explain why that is here, but based on his treatment of the Creed earlier in the Catechism, using it here is a way of reminding yourself of who God is and of what he has done for you. In short, the Creed provides the basis for looking to God in reliance and trust. It reveals him as your loving Father, your merciful Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who brings you to and sustains you in faith and makes you holy. And of course, the Lord's Prayer, as we heard at more length last week, is a wonderful prayer God has given us to pray for our salvation, our earthly needs, and our perseverance in the faith. But not just that, because it is also a perfect intercession on behalf of others that God in his mercy and grace would provide these same things to them as well. After this, Luther brings us to what he characterizes as this little prayer you may also say if you choose. Clearly in Luther's thinking, if you're going to leave out anything, this is the thing to omit. And that really makes good sense, since the invocation and the Lord's Prayer are God's own word. They're straight from Scripture. And the Creed is a summary of what the Scriptures reveal concerning who God is, the Father Almighty, Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. Nonetheless, this little prayer of Luther is a marvel of brevity and pious devotion. It begins, "I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger." With these words, Luther would have you give thanks to God and claim him again in the new day as your Father in heaven on the basis of Jesus' person and what he has done for you. Your awakening in the morning, the fact that your heart is still beating and you're still breathing, is because out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, he had taken care of you through their hours of darkness and defended you against any danger. This then also serves as the basis for the next petition in the prayer. "I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you." In other words, as you have cared for me through the night, so now be with me this day. Preserve me from falling into sin, which would separate me from you, from the evil into which Satan would entice me, and let all that I do be pleasing in your sight. The significance of this petition is shown by David's words in our text. He writes, "You are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers." So we pray that God would guard us, lest we offend him, and he rightly then would cast us out of his presence, and we would experience instead of love his righteous wrath. Luther's little prayer concludes with two sentences that seem to be paraphrases of Psalms. When he writes, "For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things," this echoes Psalm 31. "Into your hands I commit my spirit," a prayer we know best probably from Jesus praying it on the cross. The sentence that Luther gives us here is a wonderful one to pray. "For by it you are relieved of everything that makes you weary or burdens you, every anxiety and worry. With these words you put whatever concerns you, whether physically or spiritually, into God's hands. As a result, then, you can enter that day unburdened. The things you've commended to God are in his capable and loving hands. You don't need to be troubled by anything that threatens your body or your soul. And when, in addition to body and soul, you commend all things to his hands, things like the illnesses of loved ones, difficulties in relationships, a schedule that day you're not sure you can handle, concerns for your children, the threat of COVID-19, and any other number of things, everything else. When you do that, you can rest secure that He will take care of them all and make them work out toward your eternal good, just as He's promised. The final sentence of the prayer, "Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me," reflects the promise of Psalm 91. He, that is the Lord, will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. It also reflects the teaching of Psalm 34. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Thus, this final petition asks that the Lord would do exactly as He's promised to do, and trusts Him to be faithful to His word. Having prayed, "For into your hands I commend myself, my body, my soul, and all things, let your holy angels be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me," Luther concludes by instructing, "Then go joyfully to work, singing a hymn like that of the Ten Commandments, or whatever your devotion may suggest." This is good counsel that helps us take to heart the words we've just prayed. We can go joyfully to work when we rest secure in God's hands. And meditating on God's word as we begin our work, paraphrased in hymns perhaps, can sustain that joy that we have from God, even as we run into the troubles and disappointments of the day. Your Heavenly Father, who gave His Son into your flesh and into suffering and death to redeem you, is eager to hear your trusting prayer. As His word creates and sustains faith, it also calls for the response of prayer, praising Him for His goodness toward you, asking for His presence and protection, and committing every trouble and worry to Him who in wisdom, love, and power is able to deliver on every promise He has made and finally bring you into the eternal joy of His glorious presence. Rejoice in His love, calling upon Him in every trouble, praying, praising, and giving thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.